You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got the Vegas Bad Boys here with me. It's good to see you all. Happy Easter for everyone out there running after bunny rabbits and catching eggs, right? Is that what you do for Easter? I don't remember. I haven't been a child in such a long time. Is that what
we do? It's unfortunate. You've got children, and you don't know what to do.
No, my kids are almost, you know, one is a teenager, right? And the other one's about to be. So they're not running after bunny rabbits and eggs and whatever you do. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show.
You're mean, Dad.
I mean, well, you know what's funny? Well, never mind. You're making me go down that, giving family
rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell any family secrets, you know. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. We got a lot of wrestling to cover as we're getting closer to the big event. It's going to be a lot of wrestling coming up, you know, just looking at the schedule. I don't know how, you know, all I can tell everyone who's listening to us, if you see a podcast pop up that you normally don't see, like on a Thursday or a Saturday, hey, we just knocked it out the park because we don't want our 1.5-hour show become a 4-hour show. So, you know, we just going to pop in and for your enjoyment to get our take on what's happening during the week. So with that, let's kick off with Raw, everybody. WWE Raw, that was on Monday. I'm not sure how I feel. We saw it coming down the following week, but this past week, getting rid of the Hurt Business. I'm gonna go and say Michaels probably don't care. Sin City Steve, hey, probably, hey, like, hey. Whatever.
Come on, dude. Give us some credit, man. It pains me to see that T-Bar and Slapjack will no longer be with Bobby Lashley.
You see what I mean? Just no respect, man. You know? I don't know. Let me go to you, Simon Street. Now that they're dissolved, I mean, are you all right with this, or do you thought they had a good thing that could have ran a little bit longer?
I personally believe it could have ran a little bit longer, but I also understand the reality that kind of running out conceptually of the group as a tandem of all those people probably could be a little bit difficult to try and manage after WrestleMania. I'm just going to be a little bit honest. I see more Bobby Lashley and MVP in the manager role moving forward. Even on Raw, I thought it was a little weird how, like, Shelton Benjamin wanted to take a crack at Bobby Lashley to get some payback. And, they were talking to Adam Pearce like they was boys, like they had an understanding when y'all was dogging them out, you know, what was almost a month ago. So I don't know, a little inconsistency. I'm happy that we got to see the Hurt Business. Do I want them to stay longer? I wish. But, hey, we don't always get what we want, especially when you're dealing with the WWE main roster.
Is it still the Hurt Business if this is just Bobby Lashley? I mean, can he still run off with that name?
I think he can. I mean, unless King Corbin's going to be in the Hurt Business, which would be sad.
Would you say, Michaels?
Why? Why would you keep the Hurt Business moniker?
Mm-hmm.
No reason to.
that's what I'm wondering, because I'm thinking MVP probably going to still keep up with saying that, but if the other guys are not a part of it, it's might as well just kill saying it. But I mean, it was such a awesome business to be in, to say, man, I'm a part of Hurt Business.
did you buy a t-shirt?
I didn't, but
it wasn't that awesome.
Oh my god.
You know what? This guy.
That was a reach, Michaels. That was a reach. There's tons of people you like. You don't even buy the shirt.
Right.
Yeah, but that's not a reach to sit here and to be praising it and then to not even have supported them by buying the merchandise. You know what keeps factions together, that keeps wrestlers popular in WWE? It's merchandise sales.
Yeah, you got a point there. I do see that as well, but I mean, it is COVID, so you know sometimes people have to keep money as close as they can. But
well, I mean, not only that, a majority of the merchandise sales that comes from the shows is because most fans know that they're going to be also a part of going to the show, so they want to have access to that merchandise. You know, I'm not wearing.
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm saying that you didn't buy a shirt and you're sitting here complaining that the group is not together anymore.
Yeah, but just because I didn't buy a shirt, I don't buy shirts for a lot of people. That doesn't mean that I can't be a fan of that. That's so elementary of you, Michaels. Let's move on to the next.
Hey, actually, I'm going to weigh on this. Yeah, so, go ahead, man. just because I was sitting here waiting for someone to make a coherent point, and no one really did. So the bottom line is this. March 31st, MVP tweeted out, "To be clear, Bobby Lashley and MVP are the Hurt Business. We are always looking for talented applicants. Have the day you deserve." Okay. That is directly from MVP's Twitter account. So do I think that the Hurt Business carries on? Yes. Do I think that they find people to plug into whatever roles were in there previously? Yes. Does this mean that Shelton Benjamin finally goes away? More than likely. So at least you should have some shred of happiness coming out of that, Michaels. Where this leaves Cedric Alexander, hopefully he finds something to latch onto because I do fear him getting lost in the shuffle. If they don't give him anything.
Put him together with Mustafa and Ricochet. Those three would make an awesome team.
Yeah, but I'm gonna stop y'all there. All right. The only reason why I'm gonna say that is because it
all three of you guys.
Look, I'm just saying at the end of the day, I feel like it would defeat the purpose of what made the Hurt Business pretty awesome. Just going to say, just for me, maybe I'll be the only person saying it, but if it's not the same guys, it's going to be a little bit different. That's just for me.
All right.
I'd rather just be MVP and Bobby Lashley permanent moving forward. If that's what they want to do, I'm cool with that. But if you start adding other people like a King Corbin, for me, it's just going to kill it. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, I mean,
same motherfuckers who just said last week that, oh, Drew and Lashley don't have anyone to go against. So bringing over a guy like Corbin just to be not even in the Hurt Business, I don't know where you're coming up with the idea that he's going to be in the Hurt Business.
No, I just use him as example because he popped up on Raw. That's all the reason why I'm saying that.
And he should have popped out of Raw because your Hurt Business put a thing out there that anyone who can take out Drew, you know, would get a championship thing.
Yeah.
But I'm only speaking about the Hurt Business as a collective unit. That's all I'm talking about. I'm saying, like, I would not want anybody else to be in the Hurt Business other than the four gentlemen that started it. Anything other than that, I feel like it will water it down. That's just my opinion, man. You don't have to water it down.
There's nothing to water down because there's no one in it.
Hey, baby, why are you so upset? Man, you make it sound like I decided to take the mortgage money and go to the casino, man. It's just an opinion.
Good, man. Your pants are now off.
Whoa. I ain't signed up for that. I know it's Easter, brother, but I ain't signed up for that.
Hey, by the way, this
you
is
don't a good know the kind of angles I get from Zoom.
Oh, boy.
Talk about an Easter egg.
Oh, wow. All
right. by the way, this would be a good time to plug that on the podcast on Tuesday, we're going to go over WrestleMania, our sort of predictions that we're going to have for WWE and NXT that week. We're going to give all our thoughts. So make sure that on Tuesday, you download that podcast and listen to it. And if you're watching this tonight, you'll get a chance to to get it, you know, hear the show first. So it's going to be pretty awesome to hear that. Other things during the night, you got a chance to see Miz and Morrison's video. Hey, hop, hop. What did you guys think of that? Michaels, come on. That's your hit, right?
Oh, it was fucking amazing.
That was an awesome that was an awesome song.
Oh, man. Yeah, they had just came back from Brazil to shoot the video, huh? They were
yeah, I bet.
You know, the best thing about something like that mm-hmm. is the actual commitment that those two guys have.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it entertaining.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
outside of that, it's, you know, if it wasn't those two, most likely it would have probably been total jack shit.
I thought it was really, really good. For the entertainment factor. I was a little worried at first. You know, I was like, what the fuck are they doing? But it ended up being very entertaining. I would actually play that song with my son in the car, and I haven't done it yet, but he would probably be excited and probably start singing it. That's how catchy it was.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to do that. I'm going to play it for him in the car and see how catchy it is. I'll let y'all know.
Hey, don't be rolling your eyes, Mr. Arcade Main Event. Jesus Christ.
Talk about that soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I have something to look forward to with that on that match. There was also, there was a game night. Now, you know, what's interesting is, here at the DJ Impact household, we've been known to have many game nights over at the crib. I think, fellas, you've been invited, participated in a few. How would you kind of see the difference between our game night and the one with the New Day and AJ Styles with Omos? What do you think about that segment?
One was missing alcohol.
That's true.
So, are you saying that they were missing alcohol or you were missing the alcohol to enjoy that segment?
I think it was a little bit of both. It was borderline cringy a little bit. And it wasn't anything for New Day. I think they're able to hold their own. I did kind of think that almost. And AJ Styles, they kind of tried a little bit. I don't know. Because I remember last week they were going back and forth. And Kofi had threw that microphone at him. I think they were trying to grab lightning in a bottle twice with that back and forth being entertaining, and it didn't just quite hit this week, I feel. Yeah,
but it was still pretty you know, the funny segment. I will give it that, because it was pretty simple there. I don't know why. Almost just couldn't figure it out.
It was no fun. It was no Braun is stupid.
Braun. You know what I will say is this, okay? Xavier Woods or Kofi Kingston, but mostly Xavier Woods, that man, I think at any given point, will become a legitimate TV show host. And I know he has his up, up, down, down, but I'm saying, like, I could see him replace like Family Feud or like Jeopardy. Like, he just has that personality and that I don't know. That, what do you think, Michaels? You worked in that business. Do you think he could be a good game show host?
Well, look, he could, but he doesn't have a big enough name to have that position.
Yeah.
No, so that's unfortunate.
Simple answer.
Yep. Yeah.
Every once in a while, he does make a good point.
Oh, man. What happened backstage with Riddle?
He doesn't even know.
What doesn't happen with Riddle?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, what part are we talking about?
Oh, this is the segment with Asuka.
Yeah, you know? like that was totally, like, I still want to know, was that planned?
I don't think it was. What I was
talking about.
It seemed like he really just was thrown off.
Allegedly, it was
planned.
So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, allegedly. But the
funnier, well, the thing is, he looked in the camera, which is one thing you just rarely ever do to kind of show that you got kind of thrown off there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but he could have been directed to do that if it was, you know.
Yeah, but
the funnier thing was the Asuka takeoff that they did. I think it was the next day where they had Asuka. I forgot who the fuck it was who came out with the scooter, and they just, I mean, they played on it. So who the fuck knows? But yeah, it was entertaining to say the less.
Sure.
I mean, the guy had what, 3 backstage segments? So I wouldn't blame him if he got totally fucking confused on what he was doing.
Yeah.
Well, at least he did provide us with the latest "we're live, pal" type moment. So, I mean, I guess.
Right.
Good fodder for Botchamania, if nothing else.
I will say this. Matt Riddle in this Bill and Ted's Excellent Scooter Adventure persona he has is starting to grow on me. So I actually look forward to what the hell is the goofball going to say on Monday nights. I don't know if y'all feel the same way, but it's starting to catch a little fire. I don't know if it is with the rest of the world, but it's starting to catch fire when I watch it on Monday. It's entertaining. I mean, he's funny. He's a likable guy. And like I said before, I could see him on Sesame Street, like straight up, just having a conversation with Kermit the Frog. And it's just like, they're like one-to-one with the conversation, man.
You just made Xavier Woods a game show host on Family Feud, and Matt Riddle is now part of the Sesame Street cast.
Yep, yep.
Who else are you throwing out there?
And for shits and giggles, we're going to bring back the Iron Chef, and Asuka's going to host it. There you go.
Oh, man. So, in all the horror movies we've watched in the past, we never saw Jason on a swing. We never saw Freddy Krueger on a swing. But I tell you, it was very interesting seeing the Fiend on the swing next to Miss Bliss there. Man, I'm telling you, first off, the outfit is really scary. Shout out to them on that. I mean, he really does look like a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? Man, this is looking like it's going to be really, really good that they're on this particular match. I know we're going to talk about Mania on our next show, but just what you saw this past Monday night, what was your guys' take on that segment when you saw that?
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Very simple, man. Very brilliant.
Yeah.
Because the typical thing you do with wrestling is when you bring someone back, you have them, you know, go and cut promos and do all the typical shit.
Yeah.
She conjured up a beast, and that's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Now the telltale sign will be, what kind of style is he conveying? We also don't know if that's actually Bray or not, per se.
That's a good point. They can
have fun with that.
Because right now he currently looks like a burnt out Chucky, like a life size burnt Chucky doll. Remember, like on Chucky, I think it was 2, he was all burnt up and everything. Like, like that's what he looks like. So it might not even be him.
It's just a Fiend. That's the other thing too. No one has said anything about Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
It's only been the Fiend.
Right. Yeah. You know,
they can play with stuff. We'll see where it goes. But,
right.
But you have to give, I mean, now you want to talk about people who will eventually get some kind of spotlight, is Alexa Bliss is going to be most likely in Hollywood. If she keeps the shit up within the next 5 years, she's done with wrestling. She'll be getting Hollywood gigs all the time.
Easy.
Yeah.
She has that natural talent.
And she doesn't look like Charlotte Flair, right? You look like Charlotte Flair, it's got to be like action movie. You know, right. You're very powerful. With Alexa, she looks like the every girl. Yeah, and she can switch up. So that's where I think that, you know, I mean, if you look at the past arc of people who've gone into Hollywood and who've been successful, they've all been big strapping guys. And Cena's a big dude, but he's been the most relatable in terms of that everyman personality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alexa could fucking, I mean, especially, you know, out of all the people, like Punky Brewster, it was, you know, that just shows. Someone in the casting department was watching that and going, we got to get her.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this question, and I'll probably get buried for this because this show has a huge following. But if ever they decide to pull the trigger and make a movie, not a series, of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I would be okay with Alexa Bliss playing that role. Now, again, I'm going to say I'm probably going to get buried because there's a lot of people that take their Buffy the Vampire Slayer seriously and would probably be upset, but I would like to see her.
What I believe is happening with that franchise is they're, I believe, rebooting it with, it's going to be an African-American.
Buffy. Really? That's interesting. So they're kind of doing the role they did with Batgirl in a way?
Well, but it's a whole reboot, you know. It's
yeah,
it's,
so you can kind of change it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of like they did with Charmed.
Yeah.
Know? It's kind of bring it back, but it's kind of different. Sure. So.
Gotcha.
Makes sense.
All right, cool. Anything else from Raw you guys want to throw out there? I mean, there was the contract signing with Rhea and Asuka. That was a pretty good segment. We kind of, it's always the same thing. We have the table involved, you know, it's going to get flipped over. But anything yeah, else?
They went from the table flip to the tag team champions coming out.
Right.
Because usually we just see that and then it's like a stare down and blah, blah. Sure. Now, you know, the idea of putting them together and all that kind of shit. So,
right.
It's,
yeah.
It's being done a little bit different. It's really, really, when you have those two who are, you know, in the eyes of fans, basically both faces, mm-hmm. it's tough. And yeah. So I got a feeling that Monday Night Rhea has to do something that is, you know, like leaving Asuka for dead.
Right. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. Anything else out there?
I think that was pretty Mustafa. Much it.
Oh, Mustafa. Yes. Oh, it's not Mustafa. It's Mustafa.
Whatever the hell his fucking name is.
So he's
doing TikTok, kids.
He's doing his solo thing without you know, Retribution. And I'm interested to see where the hell that's going to go.
Going to Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Well, past all that, oh man, it sucks because I really, at some point before Retribution came into, you know, the playing field, I wanted to kind of see more from Mustafa Ali or Mustafa. But it just seemed like, man, he might get buried from this point.
I'm just glad that he's not showing any kind of affiliation or, you know, anything whatsoever to do with Retribution. I'm just happy that it's, you know, and obviously, you know, with the beat down and all that kind of thing. Of course, it's good that he's distancing himself from the group and they're not just going to have him like run the gauntlet of beating everybody in the group and, you know, your typical standard booking. I think he's going to do well. I think that he definitely proved on shows like Raw Talk and things like that, where he was given opportunities to speak, that they now have some sort of faith and some sort of stock in him so that they can start building him back up and reestablishing him as a good character and having credibility.
We'll see. I mean, the actual first indication will be that battle royal,
right?
Because I mean, the natural thing would be that the first thing they should do is go after him, beat the fuck out of him, and throw him out. In logical sense, if you just beat him down and he's going to be in there, you would do that. I got a feeling in the battle royale you're going to see him and Ricochet team up to eliminate a number of people.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that's going to be a team down the road? You think, or I mean,
it already was. That was my whole point before. Put, you know, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet, and Mustafa together. There you go. Or Mustafa. Or Moosifa. Oh,
wow. God. It's not like you're about to say Moose. I thought you were going to say Moosifa.
Wow.
That's funny.
Maybe he's funny. Maybe he's going to Impact Wrestling to take away the TNA title.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
All right, you guys. We're going to move over into Impact Wrestling, which I really don't have too much that I'm going to mention. But if you all happen to watch the show, maybe you will throw it in there. So Hardcore Justice is, of course, going to be the same night as WrestleMania. So that's very interesting. But in that particular...
They didn't change that?
Mm-mm. As of right now, I didn't know, but double check because it's still showing as the 10th. Okay. Yeah, but so far right now, I'm assuming Jazz is getting ready to finally say she's had enough and get out of the business because she's putting her career on the line against women's champion Deonna Purrazzo. So she either going to win the belt. Or she is putting her career. So I'm thinking Jazz is, that'd be it. But she had a fun run. It was good to see her again, you know, wrestle and being a part of Impact Wrestling. So we'll see. You know, I could be wrong, but I for some reason believe that's a wrap for that. I told you guys last week, as here in beautiful Las Vegas, we have Caesar's Palace. Well, on Impact, they got Swinger's Palace, you know. Apparently, who walked into Swinger's Palace was Mr. Don Callis himself and Kenny Omega. They wanted to know how the split was coming down the middle for the championship match between Rich Swann and Kenny for Rebellion on the 25th. So where is the how is everything looking? And apparently, it's about even. You know, they thought that was insane. So Don Callis went ahead and put $20,000 down that Kenny Omega is going to go ahead and beat Rich. So I'm sure that tilted the odds there. But there you go. They walked into what they called a hellhole, but they went ahead and put some money down at Swinger's Palace. So that was a pretty funny segment there. Last thing, James Storm, apparently he wrestled his 1,000th match, which is, man, amazing to think that you had 1,000 matches. And that was against Eric Young from Violent by Design, and he won that match. Of course, a bunch of craziness happened afterwards, but James Storm, they did give him that particular win. And
really quick impact, I actually heard that in the middle of that match, Eric Young tore his ACL.
Oh, he did.
And he still finished the match.
Got you. Yeah, he did. You know, I never know if someone's really hurt or not, but you could tell there was something. But yeah, he did finish it. And wow, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Tough guy, ooh, dude. Super, he is. Super strong.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because I had no, you couldn't tell at all.
Yeah. Super strong guy who's going to be out now for like 8 weeks. What a pussy.
Hey, man. You, Michaels, go sit in the corner.
He easily could have just, you know, rolled over into the fetal position and, you know, found some way to skip right to the finish and found a way to fill time. But dude, he showed a lot of heart with that, man.
Yeah,
but dude has always been a tough guy. Tough. And, I think he's vastly underrated in the grand scheme of things.
I agree.
Professional wrestling.
I agree.
WWE slept on him. I'll tell you that much. Without a doubt.
Oh, without question, bro.
Yep. I agree. All right. Well, anyway, that's Impact. Again, that if you want to watch Hardcore Justice, Impact Plus on the 10th.
Impact will be having a live viewing at his home. Everyone is invited.
Block party at Impact's.
Block party.
What's interesting is... let's preference that because you say it's going on WrestleMania. So I looked it up. It actually starts 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. So it's not going against WrestleMania.
Gotcha.
So it's the appetizer for WrestleMania, if you will.
If you will. Well, there you go. Perfect.
So is it double cheeseburgers with mayo, motherfuckers?
Motherfucker.
If you want your $6-7 of wrestling, you now know how to make it happen.
No, you want, really? I'm glad you said that. So anyone who's watching, if you've got $140 to go ahead and spend, Fight TV is offering the GCW full weekend of WrestleMania. And boy, oh boy, there's like fucking 12 pay-per-views over 3 days, man. That is dedication if you're going to watch all that stuff.
Sure.
And you'll see a little bit of a Vander Griff and a Damian Drake out there.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well, there you go. A little teaser.
Yeah.
NXT. Let's get right into it. Grimes, so, the system.
Yeah, that should be the hashtag of the night. Grimes, the system. That shit was amazing, first and foremost, because I thought he was just, you know, with the shirt and then pulled out the Grimes. I was like, bro, he can't lose.
On top of that, Roderick Storm just quit.
Yeah, he basically did. He's like, I'm not even going to stay for the qualifier gauntlet. I'm not even going to stay for that. Fuck all this y'all. Shit, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out. He really going through some things, man. It's like, bruh. You lost your boys and you don't know how to be. You have to figure out something, man. Boy, hey, Roderick Strong, go drink you some milk, man. You're going to be all right. All right? Come back to work next week, all right? He'll be back. Yeah. SmackDown was cool.
NXT.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I'm moving ahead. NXT was cool as hell. SmackDown was cool, too. Yeah, as we talked about, Cameron Grimes versus Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong got his feelings hurt, said he's going to quit. This, you know, extended from last week. What's really interesting is because I really honestly feel like, and I know Matt Michaels didn't give me shit for it, like, this ain't the end between these two. I would hope to fuck not, because I am enjoying every minute of it. Again, Cameron Grimes is somebody that I look forward to every week on NXT, seeing something new. I enjoy him. He's white hot, as far as I'm concerned. White hot.
I don't know if we'll see anything between the two of them. I think what we're about to see is the rebirth of whatever Roderick Storm's character is going to be, or Bobby Fish finally is healthy enough to get cleared and you have that tag team back again.
I'd be okay with that.
Or Bobby Fish turns on Roderick Storm and it really makes him.
That's horrible.
Michaels, who are you talking about?
I don't know.
Roderick Strong.
Okay. I thought that he already took on a different gimmick with, like, you know, working with Lance Storm, because.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you got to put all them Canadians together.
Really?
I mean, other than that, I mean, NXT, you know, kind of just moving things forward to Stand and Deliver, obviously. You know, Santos Escobar and Tyler Breeze, I felt that was a good match. When you talk about someone that's underrated, maybe not in NXT, but when he's had appearances on the main roster, Tyler Breeze, I've liked him since I really started watching NXT. He's one of the originals. Always does good work. Great worker. They had a good match. But what I want to talk about real quick and see what y'all thought of it too, because this is the first time I've seen her. And that's Zeta Ramir. And I probably said her name wrong. But she was in a match with Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell. And she was teamed up with Gigi Dolin.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed with her. And she's one of Booker's girls.
Right.
She came from the Booker camp. And I was really impressed with what I saw. She looked really comfortable out there. I don't know what they're going to have her set up with, obviously. But I want to see more of her. I was very entertained by her. What was y'all take on that? Did y'all get a chance to see that match? And then what'd y'all think of Zeta?
No, overall, that was a good match. I think they messed up with for a tenth of a second, put their names at the bottom, and then it just went away. So you couldn't even, you know, I was trying to figure out who they were, because that was my first time, and I'm like, and so the name went across and went away real quick, and then that was the end. So you have to listen to the commentary to figure out, you know, get their names. But I mean, overall, you're all right. I mean, she was very impressive in the ring.
Right now, it's just enhancement.
Yeah,
that's what I'm off of.
Yeah, I mean, the match did exactly what it needed to do. It helped to give some more credibility to LeRae and Hartwell. I do have to say, the post match angle with Shotzi and Ember coming down to the ring on mm-hmm. the tank and shooting the Nerf football at Indy Hartwell.
Yeah.
Her reaction, or as I should say, lack thereof, was unbelievably bad. Just unbelievably bad. And the thing is, all that I'll say is this. Out of the four ladies in this match, Indy Hartwell is consistently lagging behind. Her work is, you know, I really would love to see more. I would love to see her, you know, I don't know, find a way to showcase some talents, do whatever it is. But like, I don't know. I felt that you mentioned Raymere, also Gigi Dolan in the match. I thought that, you know, although it was an enhancement match, both of those ladies came off looking better than Indy Hartwell in this match in this segment.
Very true. Very
true. Yeah, I think Indy is just, she's playing a role that, like, it works for her right now.
Right.
If you take her away from Candace, then you would have a lot of problem. What I was going to say with that Nerf ball, though, part of me thinks that the reaction had like a non-reaction because either A, it wasn't supposed to happen, because it looked like it kind of caught her off guard.
Right.
Or B, they tried doing it in like rehearsal and, you know, it just was never reaching or whatever. It was maybe just like it flew out. No, it never touched either of them. So who knows? But it was hysterical because it just hits her. It falls down. She kind of goes back a little bit. It almost looked like she wanted to just fucking laugh.
Right.
But you know what the sad thing is? This is the second time, if I recall, that she's had this damn thing shot at her. You ain't figured out how to do this shit yet. I think it might be the third, but I know for sure it's the second time that she's been hit with that. I don't know. Indy Hartwell, we love you, girl. Once again, Zoe Stark, still impressing everybody. The match that she had with Raquel Gonzalez. She did really well. Again, I mean, whoever you match up Zoe Starks with, she is able to impress, keep you engaged. And
she did a fucking flip into a stunner off the goddamn top rope, man. Mm-hmm.
Like it's just at this point, it's just the win. That, like, not W-I-N, W-H-E-N, the win, it's going to happen. Everything is lining up. Super excited for her. Super happy for her. Like, for real. She's just fucking amazing. Real talk.
You really can't say the word when. You had to spell it out because...
Well,
because
I said the win. The win. Someone might have thought it was W-I-N. I'm sorry if I care a little bit for someone who may be listening to this on the podcast. You know, and I'm just trying to help them out.
She also needs the win at some point, too.
Yes, she does. Right, yes, it's true.
She's getting that build up, and when they start unleashing her with wins, it's game over, man.
Now, you know who I would like, and again, maybe I'm just getting excited. I would like to see her down the road, way down the road, her versus Asuka. I think that would be interesting. Don't know if it would be the greatest match on earth, but I think it would be very entertaining, very interesting. I would be excited.
So the answer to that is that would be, and for one reason, that is she can match the style of who she's going with.
I've been noticing that too. Yeah. When she faces people, she's able to kind of be in sync with their cadence, I've noticed.
Yep.
Yeah. I love whenever that happens. But other than that, I mean, just like I said, of course you had the death breath from, you know, Caden Carter, Catanzaro, going up against Xia Li, and her name is Tian Shan. I call her Lopan's daughter from Trouble in Little China. That's Lopan's daughter. And toward the end, that was interesting. Caden Carter ended up getting choked out and breathed on. So
what movie was that?
I said Lopan from Trouble in Little China. Little Trouble. What the fuck it was? I just remember his name was Lopan, the dude at the end who had the wives and shit. She reminds me of Lopan.
That's not the issue. I just love the new version of Trouble in Little China.
Trouble in Little China.
My bad. But no. I don't know how I feel about this whole Xia Li, Tian Shan, Big Bao, who don't really do shit. I just don't know how I feel about it. I want there to be something. Am I the only person that feels this? Like, I want there to be something more. They spent a good amount of chunk of change, I would assume, or at least production value, in their whole little origin story of Tian Shan. I just, I don't know. I'd rather go watch the new movie on Disney Plus, Raya the Last Dragon, or Raya the Last Dragon.
Man, it's obvious, you know, when someone's over 1,000 years old, as we were told in a vignette, when they breathe on you, you're going to just pass out. I don't know if it's from the odor, if it's from, you know, any of that stuff, but she might need to see somebody about that halitosis.
I thought it was overkill because she already choked the girl out. Then right. She breathed on her with her last breath.
The death breath, man.
Here's a very interesting thing, though. For years and years and years, it was always Asian wrestlers had to have the mist.
Yeah.
And so I think in some ways it's a conceptualization of trying something new, but also getting to that supernatural fix, because we've seen it now on the main roster. I guess they're going to try it, you know, this way. And realistically, no one should be ever to beat these guys if she's a 1,000-year-old zombie miss, you know.
In theory, yeah.
Telling you, that's Lopan's daughter. She's gonna live forever. Anyways, biggest. What was you gonna say, Michaels?
No.
I'm sorry, man. I'm gonna keep saying Lopan because every time I see her, I think of that movie and Lopan. How he talks like this, I got that wife. It's just weird. Anyways, I digress. Obviously, the biggest part of the night, I felt, was the Battle Royal qualifier for the North American Championship Gauntlet. Was really, really cool. Before I get into a little bit of that, I thought it was cool how you had Johnny Gargano, who was that commentary. Him and Beth Phoenix were kind of going back and forth a little bit, which I thought was a little entertaining. He was like, do you know me? You don't know me. Johnny Gargano can't do no wrong, first and foremost. Let's be honest. We all love him, and he's pure entertainment and delight. But
that whole thing was funny because he asked Beth, he just said, you think you know me?
I know that's what the whole thing was.
Right.
Cause she's married to Edge. So, I mean, you know,
but you wanna know what I'm saying? You don't know me. Don't know. I'm just saying that the whole thing was, go ahead. It's all good. Keep going.
No, but, that, you know, the, Battle Royal qualifier elimination match was entertaining. I mean, it's as Battle Royals go, it was pretty standard. It was interesting. I mean, of course, LA Knight, I just want to say call him Knight, won the Battle Royal. And then also,
we can call him La Knight. You can call him La Knight.
You can call him La Knight.
You can call him La Knight.
We'll see what happens.
That must be an LA connection.
No. I'm saying that because that was another thing that Gargano said when he stepped first. He said, La Knight. Keep going. I'm just throwing in stuff.
But also, the people that did qualify was Ruff, Swerve, Grimes, Loomis, and Reed. I actually thought for a moment, toward the end that Loomis was going to win, because that was my obvious pick, given the great relationship Dexter Loomis and Gargano have. I'm pretty sure it'll probably get to that in the end. But overall, NXT was enjoyable. Out of all the wrestling that I watched throughout the week, it's exciting. I enjoy it.
Did you all like the constant viewing of the dog that was running around on the vignettes throughout the show?
It's a beautiful dog. I wonder whose high heel pumps that at the end when it rolled up, who will be debuting? Which is that, what, April what? What was it, April 13th? What was it? I can't remember what date it was.
Yeah, it's the first Tuesday after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
First Tuesday show.
I'm pretty sure I think I know who it is.
It's Taya.
Yeah. Come on, man. That's the worst kept secret in pro wrestling.
Yeah, but it's her dog. It's
right.
I know. It's the whole purpose of it. My gosh. Ugh.
All right.
Well, that's why I will never take Matt Michaels to an escape room, ever. Because he would strip it down. Would be no excitement. That's why I would take Impact. Maybe Sin City Steve, because he'll play along for a little bit.
Oh, there you go.
What's funny is that you didn't mention what, quite frankly, I thought was the best thing on this entire show, was the video package that kind of set the table for Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I think that WWE played to their strengths yet again. They make these amazing video packages. No one else in the business makes a video package like the WWE production team. And they showed it again here. This got me more amped for this match than another face-to-face confrontation could have. This added a layer of, again, credibility. I know that I've said that word numerous times already tonight, but this it made it feel like a big fight. It made it feel like it should be main eventing whatever night of TakeOver that it's on. Obviously, it's not going to, but they did an amazing job with this video package. I couldn't say anything more. Best thing on NXT.
Wow.
The only thing about that I'm with you. I was really engaged. And then as soon as it finished, I realized, oh, shit, that's right. It's just going to play before the match anyway.
Right.
That's the only downside on their videos, is how they use it like that. And it's like, now I got to sit through the fucking thing again for 10 minutes because you can't fast forward a live show.
Yeah.
Which I feel a little bad, because I really honestly thought it was standard. It was engaging, but it didn't move me. I mean, but I can see what you're saying, Sin City. I mean, they do a really good job, but it wasn't the highlight of my night. But I get it. I get it.
Yeah, his highlight was a little dog running around some boots.
You damn right. You damn right. You show a dog on the internet or a cat, it's always going to be entertaining.
I thought it was the pumps that it did for you, just seeing those shoes.
Hey, like, oh my God, hey, here. Michaels, come on, man. Professionalism, man. You can't be telling people about my secret. Don't tell them about your secret. Don't tell them about my secret.
I didn't think that was a secret.
Let's quickly get over to AEW, because I want to hear about everything, including QT Marshall. I really want to hear his thoughts, Sin City's thoughts on that. So let's get right into it.
Should I just run over the entire show, like what's been done for the previous shows that we've talked about tonight? Because, I mean, I got no problem doing that. In all seriousness, though, guys, I think that the show got off to a great start. Christian Cage versus Frankie Kazarian. For somebody to have a catchphrase of outwork everyone and, you know, come in so much high profile, so much of a high profile way to come into the Federation. I think he delivered, man. I think that this was not your normal AEW match. And so often everybody loves to shit can on AEW and say that it's just spot fest after spot fest, which, to be honest, in a lot of cases it is. But this was definitely something different. Here you had two extremely skilled workers bringing it, and it made Kazarian look great. It made Christian look great. both guys gave everything that they had, and a nice ending sequence. Everything lined up perfectly. Christian picks up the win, as he should have. And like I said, one hell of a way to get things started. So, and quite honestly, I didn't really notice very much, if any, ring rust on Christian Cage. I thought that, you know, whatever steps that he was taking to prepare himself for the match and, you know, for his comeback have looked good. I would like for them to do a little bit more in terms of, you know, as I mentioned on this show last week, he was never known as the promo guy in WWE. There, when he had his peep show segment and stuff like that, it almost felt forced. And I think that him going back to highlighting and spotlighting his work ethic and letting that be his, you know, his signature once again, I think that that's definitely the route that they should go. Mm-hmm. So yeah, top notch. I can't complain about that match. From there, Impact, we had the exhibition match.
Yes.
Cody Rhodes versus QT Marshall. And okay, so here's something that I have to bring up about this entire situation. Everybody in the world saw what was going to happen. They knew that QT was going to turn on Cody. They didn't know the specifics of how it was going to happen. I'm going to say this.
Okay.
I listened to Jim Cornette talk about this segment.
Okay.
And we all know how my thoughts on Jim Cornette, but he brought up an amazing point. This, if anything, did more to bury Cody Rhodes than it did to put over QT Marshall. And why he said that, and it made perfect sense. Everyone knew that the turn was coming. Absolutely everyone in the audience knew. We all knew. It was heavily foreshadowed. It was Michaels, to throw back a parallel, it was the Zbyszko Bockwinkel angle from many, many years ago. And you had QT Marshall, you know, resort to dirty tricks. And Cody had him in position for the figure four, didn't put him in. Had him in position for the crossroads, didn't put him in. QT slaps him. You know, stuff happens. They go out onto the ramp. QT comes back into the ring and clocks Arn Anderson. From there, he leaves the ring. And, you know, you would have think that, like, that Arn Anderson was dead from the punch. He was out. QT Marshall turns his back to the ring, doesn't even look. You think all of the trainees and Cody's friends and all that kind of stuff, these guys were surrounding the ring. They all flood into the ring, and then you notice that the Nightmare Factory students of QT Marshall start beating down Cody's friends and the Nightmare family, and just what we needed in AEW, another faction. Another fucking faction. As if the waters weren't muddy already.
You know, but you're right, Steve. Listen, between Bockwinkel and Zbyszko, that works because right. Bockwinkel and Zbyszko. You have Cody Rhodes, and QT fucking Marshall gets a fucking faction. It's maddening.
I mean, I guess they're going to need a faction for Dark Elevation. That's the only thing that I can figure.
I think they should just start a new fucking internet show and call it AEW Factions.
Can I be honest with you? AEW, if they have any more faction, it's going to start looking like the Warriors. Remember the beginning of the movie Warriors where everybody was part of a gang?
It already does.
It ain't going to look like it.
It is going to be.
All we're missing are the Baseball Furies, and they're coming.
Can you dig it?
Well, they got Shaq. Shaq's the one who coined that phrase the championships. So, you know what? Actually, and
it all works.
And it's TNT. So, guess what? The movie after the fucking.
There you go. Let's do it, AEW. What the fuck you got to lose? You're already halfway there.
So you have the new faction is comprised of Aaron Solo, Nick Camarado, and Anthony Agogo, which they put Agogo over as being a bronze medalist boxer, and he punches Cody in the ribs, and he sells it like as if he got shot by a fucking cannon. Like he went down in a heap. Mind you, this is happening roughly at the same time that Goldust, Dustin Rhodes, Dustin Runnels, you know, Nightmare Dustin, whatever you want to call him this week, is getting pile driven onto steel stairs on the ramp.
That was bloody. That was bloody person number one for the evening, right?
We might as well start a counter. How many people are going to bleed on AEW TV every week?
Yeah.
Now, whatever. I mean, you really couldn't even tell because, well, obviously you could tell that he was bleeding, but I mean, he was wearing the face paint that had the blood streaks in it, and it was kind of a jumbled mess. Not exactly the person that I would have chosen for them to pile drive on some steel stairs because you couldn't show off the juice.
Can I ask you a question? Just saying. Sin City, what were the ratings for AEW this week?
Both shows were down this week.
Okay, so
Shows were down. AEW did beat NXT.
Okay.
And quite frankly, next week being NXT's final Wednesday and being a takeover, if NXT does not win next week, then it's an abomination and it's just terrible. NXT has to win next week. And AEW, quite frankly, should know that, you know, what they're up against and just plan accordingly.
So would you say the blood was paying for the ratings? Were they trying to pay for the ratings in blood?
Bro, they're trying to make a sacrifice to somebody to get their ratings up over a million.
This is the company that had the owner come out and say, we're not going to do this anymore. And they've gone on to do it way more, and it doesn't add anything, man. That's
when have wrestling promoters ever been honest with promises that they've made to their audiences?
Wait, I thought Tony Khan fucking walked on water.
No, being that you come on, man. You guys should all know if I see something that I have an issue with on AEW TV, then I'm going to bring it up. And I'm going to talk shit about it just like as if I would if it was on WWE TV. That would be extremely hypocritical if I didn't do that.
Well, so you know what?
The fact of the matter is, if Tony Khan is going to get all of the praise and all of the adulation for being Booker of the Year, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter and its voters, then, of course, if there's any kind of bullshit that goes on with their storylines, then, yes, he should also be raked over the coals for those things.
Yeah. But when you're Booker of the Year, and then the guy who wrote that is Employee of the Month, then you know.
Well, sometimes it's conspiracy theory like that that just divides us even further.
I was gonna say
Meltzer is not on the payroll. And besides, even if he was on the payroll, the Observer Awards are voted on by the subscribed readers to the newsletter.
Just like the fans vote for the Hall of Fame in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. God, you know that's bullshit. You know it's bullshit, man.
Meltzer, voting is bullshit. What can I say? Voting is bullshit.
We have a problem with voting.
Take that as you will.
In almost every facet in the world. Sometimes you got to call a beaver, let's move on.
Sometimes it is. So anyway, all I know is that the thing that I find funny is that how many people are going to turn on Cody Rhodes? It seems like everybody that he gets into like a friendship with or partnership with or whatever, they always end up turning on him. Has anybody ever noticed that or is that just me?
All the time.
Okay. All right. Nonetheless, you know, we've made a lot of light. We've talked a lot of bullshit about this new faction. honestly, I do think that it will be good for Aaron Solo, for Nick Comoroto, and for Anthony Ogogo. It will give them a good platform. Obviously, Aaron Solo is an extremely skilled worker. You know, he's appeared numerous times on AEW television, and he's worked the indies for years. It's great that he's getting such a high-profile slot, honestly. He's put in the work over the years, and it's good to see that finally paying off for him. Nick Comoroto, he made an appearance on in an enhancement match a few months ago during when the pandemic was just getting started. And, you know, people were taken aback by his look that he had. He had a superstar kind of a look. I'm glad to see that he's going to be getting a high profile spot. I don't know much about Anthony Ogogo, but if he's a legit bronze medal boxer, then yeah, you can play that shit up, man. You can definitely play that up, and I think that that's a great niche for him to push. So we'll see what happens, man. I did find it funny that that Red Velvet was the one that came out and convinced QT Marshall not to destroy Cody, you know, I find it pretty ironic.
I won't lie for a quick second. I said, oh my God, Brandy had the baby already?
Exactly.
Oh my God. I said for a quick second, I am not going to lie. I did. I was like, oh my God.
I'm glad you finally see it like I do, pal.
Jesus.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is hilarious to me.
She has been inserted as his de facto wife on TV in Brandy's absence. She was his partner in the tag match. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, I guess the role of Brandy Rhodes has been recast, and now it's Red Velvet for the next few months.
Well, I tell you what, the best thing AEW can do at this point with them down the road, once Brandy has the baby, is spin it like something more is going on with that than meets the eye.
That needs to happen.
And Brandy's like, oh, hell no, bitch, I snatch your wig.
That needs to happen.
But let's take it a step further. What if Brandy's baby actually is a white kid? Brandy was cheating on Cody, and that she had a kid with QT, maybe.
Oh Lord. How about that?
Like, if I could mute you,
oh God,
I'd mute you on that one. On that one. Mute yourself.
Listen.
Guest booking on AEW done by Vince Russo.
Hey man.
That's straight from Russo's playbook, bro. I could see that.
Be a little better than an arcade match. Just a little bit.
We'll get there.
You got a point.
We'll get there. So Moxley crushed Cesar Bononi in a squash match. Yay. Whatever. MJF's gift to the pinnacle. Oh, God. So obviously you had the pinnacle in the old Inner Circle dressing room. You know, they're talking about how things are going to change and how they're going to remodel the lock or the dressing room and all this kind of stuff. And then in the fucking bathroom, as if they have like teleportation skills, or maybe they dug a hole to get into the bathroom, or maybe they just got there at call time and they just hung out in the bathroom for like 6 hours.
All time.
And no one in the inner pinnacle had to take a shit.
Steve, after Dynamite went off the air last week, they went straight to that bathroom and have been in there for one full week waiting for them.
Seriously, like that's the only way to explain it. That's the only way to explain it, other than being, you know, straight out of a movie or straight out of like a comic book or something like that. I mean, it was. Once you got past that, it was like, okay, this was all right. Would I have liked for them to do it this quickly, though? Because obviously you have to let the pinnacle, again, gain credibility. You have to let them run rampant for more than just you know, the action of them being formed. They cut a promo the next week, and then this week, this happens. It just feels like as if it's rushing what should be taking a full cycle. If obviously they're going to end up pushing toward a blood and guts match at All In, something of that nature, Double or Nothing, whatever. But the thing is, they could have let the Pinnacle do their thing for a couple more weeks in that dressing room, and again, keep the Inner Circle off TV. Do whatever you got to do. I think this was just way too soon to bring them back. I definitely enjoyed the carnage. I thought it was good TV. It was a fun and quick watch, but it happened too soon.
Do you? The one thing I would have gone against, if you're going to use the toilet, I would have flushed another guy's head.
Yeah, I don't know why he didn't hit the handle like as he put his head in there.
Yeah, and I would have used probably someone else, maybe not MJF at that point, just because of what you said.
Sean Spears.
Yeah. Isn't his head already in the toilet?
Not far from it.
It would have been great if he would have flushed it 10 times then.
Oh, Jesus.
But and we have our TikTok video for this week. If you didn't know, we are on TikTok, and I'm sure we're going to go ahead and take that clip out. So there you go.
You know what? It better be you getting your head shoved in the toilet now that you said that. Please.
I like how he says it. Like he just says, like, that's going to be the TikTok.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I'm calling it. No surprise for anybody.
I have to talk to the producer. I don't produce the videos that come from out of here. So it's their call. So
gotcha.
Anyways, continue on.
So the 6-man match with the Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid versus Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. Laredo Kid is making the most of his minutes. That's what I can say about this match. Out of everybody in the match, obviously, you know that Rey Fénix is just going to be crazy and just do the most off-the-wall, insane shit. You know that Penta is going to just be in there and just be... You're genuinely afraid of what the guy is going to do because he doesn't have boundaries. Laredo Kid came into this match as somebody that we've seen a couple of times, but quite frankly, him just slotting in and joining forces with these guys, even on a temporary basis, dude, give me a faction with these three. Give me a faction with these three. I know that they're in Death Triangle with Pac, but, you know, what I would do is just quietly, you know, I don't want to say get rid of Pac, but, you know, have him go do something else with somebody, and just have these three guys together. And show wrestling fans what a Lucha stable should look like, as opposed to what's been happening on WWE for the last 80 years. So yeah, Omega and the Good Brothers obviously defeating the Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid. And then let's go ahead, let's talk about it. Arcade Anarchy. Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy versus Kip Sabian and Miro. All right. So this match was interesting, to say the least. It had a little bit of everything, but I don't know. I was satisfied with the match, but there were certain things that were sloppy. Execution was lacking on a few things. What I would say, though, is you had the Lego spot, which if anybody's ever stepped on a Lego, you know how much pain those things can cause.
Yes.
Imagine taking a damn power bomb onto one.
What are you talking about? No one in this foursome here has ever had anything to do with Legos.
I have. What are you talking about? That shit hurt. Yeah, we did it for our live show. That shit hurt than a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Maybe if you go on the YouTube channel for Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, you could see it. I actually weighed almost 235 pounds then. So, yeah. But it hurts. Anyways, continue.
No, you're good. So, obviously, you had the Lego spot. You've got, you know, all of the plunder, all the weapons. And you've had some returns. So, obviously, you had Trent and Sue showing up. Sue with the minivan. Trent coming out there to, do his thing. You had Chris Statlander. I did find it funny for those. I don't know. Maybe I was the only one that got the subtext on this. But I almost feel like as if Chris Statlander, who her gimmick is that she's an alien, popped up in a claw machine.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
I thought she was like an interactive, Zodi? Remember from Big, Tom Hanks Big, the dude that granted him the wish and shit? I thought she was going for that angle.
Holy fuck. It was fucking stupid. It was fucking stupid, period.
It was stupid.
Fucking horrible. I can't even believe you're even trying to justify that. Plus, putting her
you didn't get the Toy Story reference.
You didn't get...
Yeah, big deal. It fucking sucked. Period. It was awful. And now you have another fucking faction.
Well, they were already a faction.
Well, now you added Statlander to it.
You add Statlander to it. So that now you can, have women's matches.
And the next thing they need to do is put Sue on a fucking forklift.
Yeah. Vince Russo, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. You know what the sad thing is?
Sue on a pole match.
Hey, Cincy, you know what the sad thing is? Is Michaels is not too far off the mark on some of that shit.
I know.
I can see AEW maybe try some of that shit.
Hey, so here's the thing is this match ended with obviously the best friends picking up the win. It was a feel-good moment because you had everybody come back together, all that kind of stuff. So it sent the fans home happy, and it was a feel-good moment. I mean, we don't have like one of those, hey, the good guys somehow surprisingly won things with this group of guys, quite frankly. Like, how often do we talk about Orange Cassidy and Chuck and Trent and these guys that they're not on the level.
They were pushing Orange Cassidy in a fucking main event position,
but and you were bitching about it every single step of the way.
Oh
yeah, you're
bitching about it every single step of the way.
No kidding, because it never should have been done, and neither should have this shit. It was bullshit. And also, by the way, it was Mero's blow off of his career match because his career is done.
Well, now what'll happen is obviously, and this was something else I was going to get into, is that this allows us to finally get to the Miro Kip split, which needs to happen next week on Dynamite in some way, shape, or form. Miro needs to babyface turn and get away from Kip because people do want to cheer for Miro. And quite frankly, I would be cool with him, going after somebody like a Darby Allin or something of that nature. But obviously, if you give him the TNT title, then that gives Matt Michaels more things to bitch about because he's a former WWE guy.
Matt Michaels going to still be bitching.
Nice.
So he's turning face so fans could cheer for him. So you automatically put him in against Darby Allin. You should be booking this shit, Steve.
Okay, so here... Who are you going to have him go against? Are you going to have him go against fucking Omega and take that title? No.
I have him as a heel. Put him as a heel. Fucking have him destroy fucking Saban because that guy's worth shit. Put him out. Get those guys off TV. And then have him go fucking rogue. Have him be a fucking heel. You know, if you put him against Darby, you have him as a heel. But if he starts getting fan, cheers, well, then what the fuck? Why do it? You know, they put him in a shit position. He was supposed to be a big signee. They fucked him. So whatever, man. Just put him and Lana back together.
Can we have Lana pop out of a claw machine?
I'm down.
I just want to see. There's your hurt business right there.
Oh my God. You are something else, Matt Michaels. You are something else, man. Happy Easter to your cranky ass.
DJ Impact, I think yes. You were wrong earlier. That's the TikTok clip.
Ah.
Yes.
Producer? There you go. Thank you. All right.
Anyway, next.
All right. Thank you for that, Sin City Steve. I'll be real quick on Ring of Honor, just right quick. They did put on two good matches. You had Brian Johnson, who, it's funny, you know, when they put their name at the bottom, they always have just a little bit of a blurb about what's interesting about them. For Brian Johnson, it says, the only person banned from ROH podcast. Which is funny because it made me go, Matt Michaels, we'll put him on our podcast. You know, Brian Johnson had a match versus Danhausen. Danhausen, still at it, man. Great, great match, though, with that. And Brian ended up, of course, he ended up winning that match. I mean, Dan actually had the match won, but when he picked up Brian and over his shoulder and did a turn, they knocked out Todd. Yeah, Todd, the referee, got knocked out. And that caused Todd not to be available to get that three count when Dan put in his finisher. So that allowed Brian to eventually kick old Dan in the nuts there. And Todd didn't see it. And, of course, those three count happened. So great match there. There was also a match with Eli Isom versus LSG. They had a 20-minute match, which actually went that long, and that was pretty good. I'm not too familiar with either guys. They may be, you know, up and comers, or maybe I'm just not too familiar with them. But nevertheless, it was a really good match that they put on. What's really awesome, April 15th is going to be the 500th episode of Ring of Honor. One of the big matches that they're going to be having. The Foundation, of course, have Jonathan Grisham and Jay Lethal in that group. They're actually going to fight against each other for the Pure championship title. So friends having a match, but that should be really good to see how that come about. And that's April 15th. So still the same week of wrestling that's going to be taking place. Another one to add there, because
a week of wrestling at that point. That's 2 weeks.
Bro. 2 weeks, yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Another week of wrestling. That's
one. Yeah.
So yes, that is ROH. Two matches. Awesome stuff. If you get a chance to tune in and watch it, please do. With that, let's go right over into SmackDown and let you go at it, Mr. Michaels.
Rated R Superstars back.
Yeah.
I think we're all excited for that.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
I know you got that sarcasm, but there's some people that are excited for the Superstar Rated R or Rated R Superstar.
That's great. So now I have is it two heels going against Daniel Bryan? Or I'm now thoroughly confused. So,
that's exactly what I was mentioning last week. How it's interesting how, you know, a face against Roman, a heel against Daniel, you know.
And you have a match with three heels?
The fuck are you talking about?
I'm just wondering because they all look like they're heels. The Rated R Superstar is a heel. Daniel Bryan, a heel.
Roman Reigns, Daniel, is
a heel. Daniel Bryan's a heel.
He's a manipulating heel. You didn't hear what Edge said? I totally agree with what Edge said. He manipulated the whole system, that Daniel Bryan.
Oh, okay. You know what? Maybe you're on the whole conspiracy. Jesus. Oh, my God. Oh, man. For those who's not able to watch the podcast here, Mr. Simon Street got put in the lobby.
I didn't get put in the lobby. Man, I was having a lovely conversation with Matt Michaels' mother. She was just about to offer me some cookies.
Okay.
I was excited, and then now I'm back here. And I don't get those delicious cookies.
Welcome back from the Shadow Realm.
In the Shadow Realm, Daniel Bryan is a heel.
Well, okay, but explain to me why he's not a heel, because he ain't to me, he's not a face. And I'm sorry if I'm fucking an idiot. Okay, explain it to me.
Well, I don't know who you're fucking, but if she's an idiot, that's your fault. Oh.
I fuck idiot all the time.
There is not one single ounce of heel in the guy. He's been beaten the shit out of by fucking Jey Uso, by Roman Reigns. Edge wants to kill him. He's a baby face. All he needs is that fucking Taya's puppy, and he would be a fucking go-to baby face. Which, in the end, that's, you know, that's the indication that hopefully he'll win Mania, and then they can then have Edge and Daniel Bryan take care of business, and then you'll get finally Edge and Roman. And that will end up being Roman, because I think by that time Roman's going to be almost a face in terms of people liking him as a heel so much. So it's all fucking shades of gray with that shit. Carmella apparently still works for the company.
Hold on, can I say it? Oh my god! Oh my right. god! Oh my god!
Right.
We get it, bro. That's your girl. Why are we saying oh my god?
Because you probably heard it enough about how can you always say that Mandy's the goddess?
Yep.
So that was a good waste of a good 5 minutes. I think that, you know, interesting. I think Shayna finally, once the belts are off, I think Shayna's going to basically kick Nia's ass. I think Nia's going face with Reggie. I think that's just going to end up being the comedy love team for a while. Finally give her something else than being the big notorious woman.
So it took Reggie to soften up her heart.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, Logan Paul. I guess, you know, if the kids didn't really flock to the TV to see him, but they also didn't handle it in a great promotion way. So, yeah, we'll see. Logan Paul gets involved and somehow costs Sammy the match, and then it's more conspiracy. But the trailer looked fucking awesome. Give me that movie. I can't wait to see if the network puts that out as a, you know, as a legit film.
I actually thought that segment was really good, especially after Kevin Owens did come into the ring to handle him, because then Logan then starts to, maybe it is a conspiracy. He wasn't believing the whole idea of this conspiracy before. He just never said it. He was just kind of like, okay, sure. But when he saw what happened when Kevin Owens did to him, then it was like, he didn't say this, but his expression gave it like, maybe there is something there. That's kind of what I got from that, which was pretty interesting because it, you know, of course there isn't nothing there, but that did make it seem like from his standpoint, I mean, what does Logan know? He doesn't follow the product. He just going by what he see. But now when he saw what just happened, well, maybe there is something there, you know?
So do you realize that you spent time in your life analyzing something about Logan Paul?
Not really. I was just watching the show.
I was just watching the show too, and there's not a fucking thing like that that went through my mind. My mind was, oh, good, he's going to be here to screw the fucking bad guy at WrestleMania. like, I don't know, Mike Tyson has, like Mayweather going over on Big Show. I mean, come on, let's face
well, Logan,
it.
Logan
Bono, Aki fucking Bono wrestling the Big Show in a sumo match. Right. Thank God we're not seeing Logan Paul wrestle. That's what it comes down to.
Sure. Well, it can't be any worse than what he did to Nate Robinson for that little thing that happened. I mean, you know, maybe he'll...
Which is actually why I think that he's going to knock Sammy out.
I think exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
exactly. It literally is kind of following a little bit of that Tyson-Austin thing with no buildup, though, you know, at all. He gets 1 week, essentially, so... I mean, other than that, I don't know, guys. Anything else on SmackDown stick out to anyone?
Not too much.
I actually made a note about this. The Edge promo at the start of the show. I haven't been fired up about Edge whatsoever since he's been back. But I definitely enjoyed this promo. This was good fire. I really enjoyed what I saw out of that. I'm just outside. I'm hoping that Cesaro picks up the win against Rollins. For the life of me, though, I don't think that it's going to happen. I think that they're, you know, going to make Cesaro look strong, but come up short. But yeah, I would like to be proven wrong. I genuinely would like to be proven wrong, but we'll see what happens at Mania.
I will tell you that I didn't like Seth Rollins' suit. It was all over the place.
What? As compared to Sami Zayn's?
Sami's wasn't too bad.
I didn't mind Rollins' suit.
No, Rollins had an ugly suit. Most of his suits are, you know...
Obviously.
That was the
intention. They didn't want you to like it.
Well, he comes on with different suits all the time.
Right.
But there are some suits that I actually do like. Yeah,
In a pro wrestling sense, I liked his suit. In a fashion and style sense, it was horrendous. But it accomplished what it needed to do because he's a heel.
Sure.
What did you think of Logan Paul's clothes?
ordinary, like his career.
He's just a guy.
Hey, speaking of guys, Sensei Steve, I got a question. What's up, guys? Every time you move your head, I see abs and chest all in the background.
Yes, that is my... So I have the good old Vegas Bad Boys thing, but behind me I have a collection of autographed posters, and that just happens to be Bill Goldberg. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, because I thought maybe I was seeing something, but I saw a whole bunch of just meat and...
No worries. Yeah, it's a Rob Schamberger print of Goldberg.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I have it autographed by Goldberg.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very last thing. Shout out also to Otis, the Alpha Academy. He is really showing how much he loves being a part of the Academy, you know. So shout out to Otis, hardworking man.
Can't wait to see what happens to Shorty G when Otis loses it and turns on him.
He's going to squash him, and that's going to send Shorty G out of the company.
Yeah.
His contract's up very soon. So.
Oh, yeah. I think he's gone.
He's definitely going elsewhere. He'll probably work Wednesdays.
I don't know, man. I think if he's smart, go to Ring of Honor. That would fit his style a little bit.
That might accept him a lot better.
I would think Ring of Honor or maybe even New Japan. But
Yeah, New Japan. But yeah, Ring of Honor being the pure now.
The wrestling, yes. Like that, legit wrestling company. Yeah.
Well, you named it New Japan. There is a new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. Yeah. Sin City, tell us about it, man.
Well, actually, at the Sakura Genesis show that was yesterday, it was Kota Ibushi defending the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against the New Japan Cup winner, Will Ospreay, and Will Ospreay took full advantage, picking up the win and claiming the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. And the match was about a 30-minute match, very solid. As anybody who would see the two guys involved in the match would assume, Ibushi, amazing worker. Ospreay has really, really, he's done wonders for the junior heavyweight division, and then leaping up and going for the heavyweight championship. I mean, he's awesome in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah.
And it's always good. You know, he's got that, he's got his new faction with him. So, I mean, you know, in the Empire, obviously you've got himself, you've got the great Okan, you've got Jeff Cobb, yep. And, you also have, Henare, who, just joined back up, with the faction as of the Sakura Genesis show. He ended up being a mystery partner, for the other guys on there. Elsewhere on the show, you did have the team of Suzuki Goon, El Desperado, and Yoshinobu Kanemaru losing their IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships to Roppongi 3K. Sho and Yo pick up the win there. For those Ring of Honor fans, me saying the names Sho and Yo might, you know, be familiar to them. Yes, they did their excursion in the U.S. and worked for Ring of Honor as Coast to Coast. So, yeah, pretty solid show. The last couple of years, the Sakura Genesis show has provided, you know, some quality matches.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the first time, to say the very least, that we've seen somebody win the New Japan Cup and go on and win the IWGP Championship in their guaranteed title match.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this goes. If nothing else, this leads me to believe that Kenny Omega might not be working in New Japan or working dates with New Japan just yet. So I think that they're going to be drawing that out a little bit further. And obviously, you know, the whole belt collector storyline that they're doing with Kenny Omega. It is just a matter of time until Omega shows back up in New Japan with the AEW Championship and, of course, the Impact Championship.
TNA.
TNA Championship, the Impact Championship, the GFW Championship, whatever. Just give them all those belts.
Where is it? Oh,
God. Yeah. So yeah, he'll be there. The Will Ospreay win actually got a mention from AJ Styles, because AJ Styles at the time that he won the IWGP Championship also held the Revolution Pro Championship, and those two organizations have a working arrangement. So you would have AJ Styles show up at New Japan shows with the Rev Pro belt as well as the IWGP Championship. And fun fact, Will Ospreay is also your current Revolution Pro champion, and now he is the IWGP champion. So that drew a parallel directly from AJ Styles, and there was a nice friendly back and forth on Twitter between those two, kind of giving some congratulatory stuff. That was cool.
Oh my God, that means they signed him.
Shut up. Wow, no, I think it's cool whenever people in other companies mention, you know, things like that.
No, it's not you. It's the fan reaction. And obviously, if
AJ
mentioned,
of course.
They're punching the numbers. They're punching the numbers in their head. Like, it's going to happen. The conspiracy has been born.
Sounds so like Sami Zayn.
So who will more likely get the next match? Would it be Okada or Takagi?
So actually, after the match, you know, you had Okada and Shingo in the ring. Mm-hmm. And it looks like as if Will Ospreay will defend the championship next. against Shingo Takagi. And then after that, which I hate when they do this kind of stuff, because that already lets you know that Shingo has no chance,
right?
And that, you know, that he's already looking past him. Sure. But yeah, Ospreay said after Shingo has his turn, then Okada can have his. And it's like, I just in wrestling in general, whenever anybody does that kind of a thing, I hate it, because it delegitimizes the current challenger for the title.
Gotcha. All right, guys, that is our wrestling talk for tonight. Thank you for hanging out with us on our chats.
Hey, really quick.
Go ahead. Sure.
Future Stars of Women's Wrestling happened on Saturday night, and it was a nice little show. If anyone wants to check it out, go to Fight TV, get the replay. I think it's only like $10, $9.99. But yeah, man, you got a good showing from a number of talented women from out here, as well as we got to see the Unguided wrestle in some matches there, including a match with a tag match that involved the Songbird of Wrestling, Ricky Tenacious. Oh man, good stuff. Good stuff. But the main event was Katrina versus Maserati. And it's good to see Maserati working with seasoned veteran women. Katrina is just fabulous, man. That she's just been 100% on the independence, willing to work with people. And, you know, when you don't put yourself in front of helping younger talent grow, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Steve, it hits on kind of what you're saying. Like, you know, going into a show like this, that the belt's not going to jump off, 99% chance. But you're still able to see a very, very good story told, and, you know, see good wrestling from women who are on the rise up. So yeah, just highly encourage people to check it out. Good stuff. And of course, you know, keep your eyes out. People, just start looking for WrestleMania weekend with it coming up. Look on Fight TV. Look on your favorite independent promotions. Find new independent promotions you might not have heard of before if they're running. And just look up how to see some of these cards, because you're going to see a lot of varying degrees of talent. And it's just a phenomenal time, especially because of the fact that there was a pandemic. I think that the reach of streaming right now is at its apex, because they know they have to gear it towards a lot more people who are not going to be there as, you know, they would have been if there wasn't a pandemic. So, it's a good time to check out, a lot of independent wrestling and see a lot of stars coming up. You make your own judgment on, who are going to be those women and men that you're going to, like to see in the future. Also in Tampa, again, the Unguided will be there. Remy Marcel's going to be there. Funny One's going to be there. Jay Vidal is going to be there, with Prada. The Bad Bitches are going to be working Effie's, gay brunch. So that in itself, I just might be purchasing that pay-per-view, because that's going to be a fucking show. That is going to be fun. Effie, man, you got to give it to the guy. He knows how to put on a good show. He knows his character. He's true to himself. And boy, that's just what you want to see. And I know, Steve, you're getting Joey Janela's pay-per-view, right?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, as mentioned, there's going to be a lot of wrestling happening the next couple of weeks. So if you have access to, what was it? It was Fight TV?
Fight TV,
yeah. So, yeah, so definitely check them out, and so you can help support, You know, if you can't be at the show, you can support by tuning in and watching the event. So absolutely. All right. Yes, that is our wrestling talk. And we're going to get ready to record our WrestleMania thoughts. So make sure that you download Tuesday's episode as well, so you can get a chance to hear that. And if you're watching us live tonight, you'll get a chance to hear it now. For people who listen to the podcast and say, I never catch when these guys are on, one thing to do, definitely follow us on Facebook. You also can follow us on YouTube. And when we go live, you should get those notifications if you have them on. And then you should be able to just tune in, watch us live, and comment on whatever thing you want to comment on. So we enjoy when you do that. All right. So with that, thank all of you for listening, and we will see you next time. Peace. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.